turn there, and I'd like to make what I expect will be somewhat abbreviated comments from what I customarily do on a Sunday morning. Usually on a Sunday morning, we're good for an hour or so with the preached word. And today we may still be good for an hour, but I don't think so. I think this will be somewhat abbreviated today, but I believe it will be appropriate. And when you're finished turning and getting Isaiah 62, before I begin to read this passage, I want to say to you that you will miss a great blessing if you do not come to the service tonight at 7. The program this evening, His Name is Life, you will find in it some humor. You'll be tickled, blessed. Your joy bone will be scratched. But there are also some parts in this program that are deeply moving. And I guarantee you that you will be blessed with the joy of the Lord, but you will also be deeply moved. And this would be an excellent program for you to bring friends and relatives to if you have them, those that are not customarily in a church service on a Sunday evening. Oftentimes a musical program like this is non-threatening. Sometimes folks are threatened by a preacher, but not threatened by the music. And you know, God can use all of those means. It's the same Spirit. There are many variations in the working, but it's the same Spirit. And oftentimes music has a way of touching people's lives and touching people's hearts that nothing else does. So I just want to encourage you to come. Please be in your places on time so that we don't have a lot of coming and going back there when the program starts. It's disruptive for the rest of those who are trying to watch and concentrate, and we do want to start right on time at 7 o'clock. Isaiah 62, and I want to begin to read today in the 10th verse. On Tuesday evening, I believe it was, as we were praying around this altar, the Lord just spoke this passage of Scripture to me. And as I looked it up later and began to read it, I could see how appropriate it was for the time that our church was going through in the life of our ministry, and particularly this week. And as I did, several things just occurred to me there. But today, I want to share just a portion of it. It's the last four verses from verse 10. The rest of it, if you were not here Wednesday night, I shared all of this on Wednesday night. But tonight, today, I want to concentrate on one particular aspect and amplify it just a little bit. Verse 10 says, Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Let me stop right there because I want to share with you what that means. For I think a lot of us will read that and not pick up on it unless it comes by the revelation of the Spirit. This is a message to the people of God. And it says, this is what I want you to do, people. First of all, I want you to go through the gates yourself. You must enter the gate of the kingdom of heaven. And what is the name of the gate? Jesus is the name of the gate. John 10 says, I am the door, or I am the gate of the sheepfold. And no man can come in unless he come in by the door. It's thieves and robbers that try to come in another way. If you want to get in the kingdom of God, you must come through the gate. You cannot come through the church. Well, I'm a member at such and such a church. That and a dime won't buy you a cup of coffee. How much a cup of coffee costs these days? Huh? Anybody, what, a quarter cup of coffee? How much? Well, all these prices. Okay. Being a member of a church and a half a dollar will get you a cup of coffee, but it will not get you in the kingdom of heaven. But Pastor, I've been baptized. Well, the number of people in hell who have been baptized is probably as many as those who have not been baptized. You don't come in through baptism. You don't come in through the church. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. You don't come in through the Christian home. Now, it's good you grew up in a Christian home. That's great. But you don't come in that way. You have to come in through the gate. Well, my father was a Baptist preacher. He's going on to be with the Lord now, great man. Well, you don't come in through your daddy. You can't come in through your daddy. You have to come in through the door. My wife is a Christian. She's the greatest Christian I know. Well, you can't come in through your wife. The Bible doesn't say your wife is the door. Jesus Christ is the door. Well, I'm in charge of the Wednesday night suppers at our church. That doesn't get you in the door. Gets you in the church door. Might get you in the pastor's office, but it won't get you in the kingdom of God. Well, I'm a tither. Tithing's not the door. I never killed anybody. I'm as good as most other people. Goodness doesn't get you in the door. The door is named Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that's how you get into the kingdom. And so the prophet says, go through. And then for emphasis, he says again, go through the gate. Go in the door. Give your life to Jesus. And give it without reservation, and give it without qualification, and give it without delay. If you're 10, if you're 12, if you're 20, if you're 50, if you're 80, bless God, if you're 80, you better do it and do it quick. Go through the gate and get in the kingdom of God. Then once in the gate, this is what you do. You are beginning now to serve God, and this is what He wants for us. Prepare ye the way of the people. What are we supposed to do? We're to prepare the way for the rest who are going to come. We're to make the way plain for them by the way we live and by giving them the message. And here are some specifics. Cast up the highway. What does that say? That says build a road. Build a way. Make a way for people to come into the kingdom by what you say, by witnessing to people, by the way that you live, by the way you give yourself to the ministry of God, whether you're in the preaching ministry or sitting in the pew. Whatever you do, make a contribution to the preparation of the highway. Now, if you're not called to the preaching ministry, then get behind someone who is and support him in his preaching ministry, his evangelistic ministry, in his discipling ministry. Help somebody build a part of the highway so that when people come, there's a place, a well-identified path upon which they may walk. And he says further, gather out the stones. Take all the obstacles out of the way. So that when people are invited by the Spirit of God, when God's Holy Spirit convicts them and witnesses to them of the power of the gospel and the love of Jesus, why did you come to Christ in the first place? You felt His love. You felt His love over and over and over again, and you knew you didn't deserve that love. But it kept coming, it kept coming, it kept coming. He did not treat you as if you deserved to be treated. He treated you like no one you ever knew treated you, and you knew that this has got to be real love. And something stirred on the inside of you until you had no option except to respond to that love and say, I love you too. And that's what God's doing by His Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Joel said, and Peter quoted him, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all the church.
All
flesh. Oh, not all the church? No. Not all the believers? No. Not all the born-again ones?
No.
He said, upon all the flesh. You mean those sinners have got the Holy Spirit going to be poured out upon them?
Yes.
You know it. Now, what's going to happen when that occurs? They're going to be looking for a way. They're going to be looking for a highway. And that highway needs to be as straight and direct, and it needs to be as clear and open as possible. So get involved in building the highway and gathering the stones out of it. And then he says, lift up a standard for the people. Lift up a standard. Lift up a banner around which people may rally. Be so distinctively different and so distinctively like Jesus Christ that they will know where to go. And they will know who has the answers. Lift up a standard so that when they want to seek God and they have a hunger for God, that they don't go wandering all around and fall in one or more cults. Religious cults this day are legend in terms of their number. Myriad and multitude of them. And unsuspecting souls are falling in them because there's not a good, clear highway. The Christian highway is often filled with so many stones that as people are coming to enter into the gate, they get so banged up and bruised that they fall out of the way and fall prey. We need to lift up a standard, a banner, a readily identifiable banner. Yes, this is the Christian body. These are the people of God. And then he said, the prophet continues speaking, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world." This is the word of God to the end of the world. The Lord hath proclaimed to the end of the world, this is what we're to do. "Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." Now, what I want to concentrate on this morning, and if you don't remember anything else I say today, I want you please to remember this. A large number of people, particularly Christian people, are seeking the wrong thing. Christians typically are seeking, "I want my marriage healed. I want my husband saved. I want my mother and father saved. I want my Aunt Maud to be delivered from her diabetes. I want a better job. I want enough money to make my bills. I want a good church to go to. I want a pastor who's spiritual. I want a family that is the right kind." One thing and another. The scripture says we're all on the wrong course. The message to Zion is this: "Say ye to the daughter of Zion this, behold, his reward is with him." I want that to sink in. If you seek him, when you find him, his reward will be there. However, if you are seeking the reward or the benefit, you will never, ever find it. You will live frustratingly, never participating in the blessings of being a child of God. You must seek him. You see, we don't need salvation. We need Jesus. Amen. He's salvation. We don't need forgiveness of sins. We need Jesus because he is forgiveness of sins. We don't need power and ability in our lives. We need Jesus because he is the power and the ability in a person's life. We don't need healing. We need Jesus because he is health. We don't need prosperity. We need Jesus because he is prosperity and blessing in material ways. And as a result, a great many Christians are deeply frustrated and not very effective for the king or the kingdom because we are seeking the wrong thing. We need to seek him. When we seek him, then we get it. Better than getting it, we get them. Many testimonies are like this. My wife was very sick, alone at home. She'd never been born again. She watched a Billy Graham crusade. Prayed the sinner's prayer, asked Jesus to come into her life, and woke up the next morning whole. Now, what happened to her? She needed healing, but she sought the healer. She needed deliverance, but she sought the deliverer. She didn't know what to ask for. She just sought after him, and when he came, his reward came with him. Oh, if I could only have some peace in my life. The Bible says he is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. If you want peace, you want Jesus. And if you don't have enough peace, you don't have enough Jesus in your life, that's the only way you can cut it. Well, I'm wretched. My life is just miserable. I don't have any joy. You don't have enough Jesus is your problem. Because I tell you what, if you get enough Jesus in you, you'll have joy no matter what your circumstances. There will not be enough demons and enough tribulation to make you unjoyful. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation, thy deliverance, thy protection, thy healing, thy health, thy prosperity, thy blessing. That's what the word salvation means. It means all those things. Behold, they come. How do they come? They come with him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. I'll tell you what the problem is with the church of Jesus Christ. It does not have enough Jesus. It's got enough programs. It's got enough buildings. It's got enough smiling faces. It's got enough important people in it. Doesn't need any of those things. It doesn't need any more great men. It doesn't need any more fabulous orators. It doesn't need any more anointed singers. What the Church of Jesus Christ needs is more Jesus. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. I believe the church will do what needs to be done with regard to the kingdom work to the degree that it seeks him. Not how can we be a bigger church? How can we be a better church? How can we do this? How can we do that? Him. We need to seek him, and then he does it. Then verse 12 tells us what the result will be. And they shall call them the holy people. That's the standard. Do you see it? Lift up a standard before the people. Seek him. His reward is with him. Salvation cometh when he cometh into a person's life. That's why it is urgent. When you pray the sinner's prayer, you don't say, Lord, save me. You say, Lord, come into my life. I want you. And when he comes, all of the facets of his salvation come. His deliverance, his blessing, his joy, his power. They're there to be used as he sees fit. And when that happens in people who are truly Christians, those who know the Lord Jesus and have his power working in their life, people will say, there's something strange about you. Are you a holy person or something? How many of you have ever had somebody say, are you a preacher or something? Let me see your hands. Glory to God, I love that. Well, I used to rejoice before I was a pastor. I was a businessman. And because of the way I talked and acted and sort of thing, you know, folks would say, anytime you get anything real coming out of somebody's mouth, you know, real Christians, well, you got to be a preacher. He'd say, the people would say, are you a preacher? I'd say, no, I just love Jesus. Do you know him? Boy, I had these wonderful opportunities to share. And I was disappointed when I became a preacher. Because, I mean, not that I was a preacher, but that I lost those opportunities because they would say, are you a preacher or something? And I would say, yes, I'm a preacher. But it just shot everything because they expect a preacher. No, you understand what I mean. They expect a preacher to be some kind of holy. See? So if you're carrying a Bible and you're a preacher, well, okay, that explains it. They don't give it another thought. But if you're a layperson, see, you're not a preacher and you're carrying a Bible, that'll worry that person all day long. Isn't it right? I mean, that's what happens. So, I mean, I gained a lot of other opportunities, but I lost that one. But that, see, that's the way it ought to be for every Christian. Every Christian ought to be so identified that Everybody around them knows that they proclaim and name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian ought to be readily identified. That way, there's no secret agents, no closet Christians. The whole world knows that we're Christians. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Boy, I know that guy. He's purchased by God. God owns him. He belongs to God. They knew it about Israel. You go back and read the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua, and you will find that the people all around say, yes, we heard about you and how the Lord parted the Red Sea and preserved you, parted the Jordan River. Our heart shook within us when we heard about you. Yes. Don't we have a better covenant than they did? Yes. My good Lord, we have a better deal than they did. People ought to be able to finger you as a Christian without batting an eye. Someone said once, if there was a trial, would there be enough evidence to convict you as being a Christian? Good question. The redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, now watch this, thou shalt be called goofy, weird, peculiar, out of step, unenlightened, dark ages, nuts, other side of the tracks. No, no. You see, when God's people really seek Him and His reward is really with them, then they will be called sought out. Amen. Sought out. Every Christian, I believe, ought to be in the position like Peter was when Cornelius was praying in Acts 10. Here's a man that does not know God but wants to know God. He's fasting and he's praying, I want to know God. This is a Roman centurion that wanted to know the God of Israel. In the middle of that fasting and praying, an angel came from God to Cornelius and said, Cornelius, your prayer's been heard. Send down to Joppa to a tanner's house named Simon, and you ask there for a man named Peter. And he will come and give you the words that you need to hear. At the same time, an angel appeared to Peter in a vision and let down the sheet from heaven and instructed him what to do. And when Peter woke up from having that trance, at lunchtime it was, there was a knock on the door and it was Cornelius' servants there. And Peter knew exactly what to do. Peter went over to Cornelius' house. Cornelius says, Peter, this is what happened a few days ago and so on. I was praying, saw this angel, etc., etc. Now you're here to tell me and us. And he had his whole family gathered. Sought out. Sought out. Sent men to get him in a distant city and bring him. Tell me what I need to know. I want to know God. Not a city forsaken. Out there in the country somewhere on your minimum 5 acres and just don't make too many waves. But sought out by people who are hungry to know the truth and know where the truth is, because there's been a way cast up, the rocks have been pulled out of it, the people have entered into the gate and they're prepared, they're working, they're involved, they're building that highway, they're erecting a standard and a banner around which people can rally. They have sought the Lord, and the Lord is with them, and His reward is there as well. And it's obvious to those who want the same, and they will come and seek you out. I want what you have. I don't know what else the Lord might have shown you this week, but one of the things He's shown me is that in all I do and in all that we do together, that we must know that our objective is to seek Him. And everything else we need comes with Him. And what we need today is more of Him. We don't need more of anything else. We need more of Him, that's all. I want you to stand quietly with me, please.